Hallelujah. So you can see we're coming to the end of the reading of the Torah. It's all on one, you know, the right side is all been read already, and we're coming to the end, and we'll be starting all over again after the fall feast of the Torah. We begin in Bereshit once again. So we're coming to the end of Devarim, Deuteronomy. Let me just share just a few brief announcements here. Just want to welcome anyone who's busy with us today. We always glad to have visitors come and join together with us, and we always say every week, you know, don't rush away for any of us. You know, we have some tables and we have a nice oneg downstairs prepared and ready to go for you to come and just to visit, so we don't rush away after the service. We try to build our community by having some good fellowship, and that's really what God's word says, that let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but let's encourage one another, and so much the more as we see the day drawing near. And so let's come together and have some good fellowship together. Also, just a reminder that we have our Messianic calendars are now available. They are absolutely an essential for anyone who is part of a Messianic congregation. You have to have a Messianic calendar to tell you when all the holidays will be, all the Torah readings, you know, all the special days on the calendar. So make sure that you pick one of these up at the resource center or by the office, and that would be great. And also we have on the back of our update, we just wanted to just continue to remind you that we have this big, huge, giant yard sale. We've never done this before. We've never had a huge yard sale. And the purpose of it is to help our youth as they prepare to go to a retreat on September 16th to the 18th. And so if you'd like to declutter your home, you know, just come and bring some of your furnishings, your belongings, and we'll be glad to sell them for you and donate them to our youth. And for anyone that would like to just have a table of your own and sell some of your own, you're welcome to do that as well, and to make sure that you donate part of it towards youth. Pardon me? Say what? One more. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Most definitely. Someone else's clutter is maybe your treasure, right? And so that means, you know, don't just bring your stuff, but come. There's something about going to a garage sale. When you're driving down, you'll see a street or a sign that says garage sale. You just kind of feel drawn to it. And so make sure that you come, you know, anyone in the congregation come, because there could be some really amazing things that people are giving away. And so make sure that you come and be a part of that garage sale. It's all for the youth. And if you'd like to sponsor a youth for this retreat, that would be also awesome. So we have some of the information on the back sheet here. And so I encourage you to be in prayer for that. And we really want our youth to have a good time. They're going to be learning all about the importance of their identity. And, you know, we live in a time today where, you know, there's lots of confusion today, you know, as to, you know, people are trying to change their gender, you know, and so really confusing their identity. And so we really need to be in prayer, and we really want our young people to have a clear focus and understanding of who they are and what God's purpose is for them. Amen. So that's really important, because they are the next generation if the Lord tarries. We know that we're living in prophetic times, so we don't know how long we have. So we need to do everything we can to invest in our youth. All right. Okay. Well, you know, over the past couple of weeks, I've been teaching on seven Sabbaths of comfort. And there are seven selected readings taken from the book of Isaiah that culminate with the first of the fall feasts of Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, as it is called in the Jewish community today. And the theme of these readings are God speaking words of comfort to our people who have experienced more suffering than any other nation on earth. And that's an absolute truth. There's no other people that have suffered as much as our people have. You know, because to be chosen comes with great responsibility. So Isaiah 40, the first of the Sabbaths of comfort, begins with a word from the Lord. Comfort, comfort me, my people, your God, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then Isaiah speaks of the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Remove all the obstacles so the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And I shared how this prophecy, it was a prophecy by Isaiah. He was speaking about Yochanan the Immerser, because all four Gospels, all four of them, actually quote from Isaiah 40, as I said before. And Yochanan was the one that God chose to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. And so the Messiah we know became flesh and dwelt among us so that we would behold his glory. That he would reveal his glory to Israel and then to the nations. And so that's in the first Sabbath of comfort. Then the remaining Sabbaths of comfort are all intended to comfort Israel and the Jewish people. You know, I'm not going to be able to, of course, go through all these seven messengers, the seven Sabbaths of comfort. That's why I listed them on the in the update, on the back of your update. So I would encourage you to take the time to read through these every week. You know, we have each week, you know, to read through the whole Sabbath of comfort that are to be read every Shabbat for the next 5 weeks now, as we're getting closer. And so this evening begins the month of Elul. It's the preparation month for the fall feasts. And I'll be giving a message next Shabbat to help to begin to prepare our hearts for this special season. And then Jerry will be speaking, our elder will be speaking on the following Shabbat. But last week I shared that in the midst of these seven Sabbaths of comfort are four servant songs. Israel was called to be a servant nation, but she failed to fulfill her destiny to be a holy nation, to be a kingdom of priests, and to be a servant nation. So God's plan was to raise up a true servant and a high priest within the nation of Israel who would identify with the suffering of Israel and the Jewish people. Hebrews 4:15 tells us, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted, who suffered in all things as we did, and yet without sin." And Isaiah 53 is really one of these four servant songs. It speaks of the Messiah suffering as the suffering servant who came to offer himself as a sin offering. And it says here in Isaiah 53 that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Every one of us. We've all gone astray. And each one has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And we know that Isaiah, as we read through Isaiah 53, describes in detail how the Messiah was despised, how he was rejected by men. He was a man of sorrow, and he was acquainted with grief. But Isaiah 53 opens with the words, "Who has believed this message? Who has believed this message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And this question has been asked for the centuries. Who is willing to believe this message? You know, it's really a message of, it's not a message of love and forgiveness, of peace and salvation, of healing, of deliverance, and eternal life in the Messiah. And he offers it to whoever is willing to believe this message. If a person really understood what they would be missing, if they didn't accept this message, then they would be really foolish to not accept this amazing message that is being offered to the world. And yet, this morning I'm going to speak on next week's Sabbath of Comfort because it's a good news message. It's a good news message. Because, you know, we live in a world today where we hear mostly bad news. You know, as we draw closer to the coming of the Messiah and the birth pangs of the Messiah, they'll become more and more intense, and the world will experience more lawlessness and more chaos and more moral disorder and sickness and disease and famine, natural disasters, war, persecution. You know, our culture has become totally desensitized with all the bad news. And we have become indifferent. Because we were not created to live a life that overwhelmed by tragedy, chaos, and death. God created us to be in relationship with Him. He came that we may have life and life abundantly. So how often does the media cover good news stories? They are few and far between. But you know, the greatest good news story that is ever told is found in the pages of this book, right? The greatest story ever told, the greatest news ever given to man. And so we're going to look at Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 10, because it's a message of good news. And that's when the Sabbath of Comfort is actually found in the update. If you have your update in front of you, you can follow along with me, Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 10. If not, just turn to your Bibles, Isaiah 52, 7 through 10. I want to speak on this today. A good news message, because we all need to hear good news, right? It says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation, the Yeshua of our God. Amazing words. But you know, in context, this good news was announced to Israel after, you know, their 70 years of Babylonian captivity had come to an end. So this is in the context of Israel coming to the end of the 70 years. It's coming to an end. The point in time for them, their freedom has arrived. And so Isaiah was a messenger who brought this good news that they could now return home, rebuild the temple and Jerusalem. And it says that Adonai worked, the scripture says Adonai worked in the heart of King Cyrus of Persia, who defeated the Babylonians. He was a very benevolent king who showed favor to Israel. And he actually helped to finance Israel's return to the land and for them to rebuild the temple and Jerusalem under the leadership of Nehemiah and Ezra. So that's the context of this. But much of the language announced by Isaiah in this scripture was very prophetic, because it was intended to be good news message, not only for Israel, but it was a prophetic foreshadowing of God's desire to bless all future generations. So it wasn't just a good news message for Israel alone, but it was God's plan for it to be a message, a good news message for all peoples. Because the messenger announces several things about this good news. It's a message of peace, of joy, of salvation, of restoration. And the declaration of Zion's God reigns. Behold, our God reigns. Amen. Our God reigns. And he is the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords, and he's seated on the throne. So this prophetic word of Isaiah was not only, you know, was not the only time this good news message was announced. It is mentioned several times in the scripture, but mostly in the New Covenant. But in Nahum 1:15, he quotes from Isaiah. He says, look, there on the mountains, the feet of one who brings good news, who proclaims peace. Celebrate your festivals, Judah. That's what we'll be doing in a few weeks. We'll be celebrating, observing God's appointed times. And it says, fulfill your vows. No more will the wicked invade you. They'll be completely destroyed. Nehemiah 1:15. So this good news message was not only intended for the exiles in Babylon and Israel, but it was intended to be for all mankind. Because what did the Lord say to Abraham in Genesis 12:1-3? He gave them the Abrahamic covenant. And part of the covenant said that in you and your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That was always in the heart of the Father, that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. But he had to choose. He had a plan. And his plan was to choose a nation. And from within that nation, he would choose a Messiah who would come and be the one to deliver his people.
But you know, this good news message is really declared over and over again in the New Covenant. And it really becomes the main message of the Brit Hadashah, of the New Covenant. It's known as the Gospel. The Gospel means the good news. And it was first spoken in Luke chapter 2, verse 7 to 14, you know, at the birth of the Messiah. And it tells us in Luke chapter 2 that the angel of the Lord made a joyful announcement to the shepherds who were in their fields watching and protecting their flocks at night. And it's interesting, the angels made the announcement to the shepherds, not to the religious establishment of the day. These angels came into the fields and where the shepherds were gathered. And there's an entire heavenly host of heavenly messengers appeared to them. And this is what they said in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And then suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So, you know, this was a day that was planned before the foundation of the world. It was the fulfillment of the ages for the Messiah to be born at that specific time in history. In Galatians 4:4, it says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the Torah, but under the law." So Yeshua came at the perfect time in human history 2,000 years ago. There's a reason why he came 2,000 years ago. It was really the perfect time in human history. And so the angels announced, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, the Messiah, the Lord." And when they heard this announcement, I'm sure they must have wondered in the minds of, how will we recognize who this Messiah would be? And the angel said, "This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in a cloth and lying in a feeding trough." I think, what an extraordinary, ordinary sign. Apart from the little detail about the feeding trough, the sign could have been applied to any baby born in Bethlehem at that time. But imagine, there is no room in the inn for the King of Kings, the Messiah of Israel. And surely when the shepherds heard the news that the Messiah had been born, they were expecting a more impressive sign than this. Didn't the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah, who they have been waiting for centuries, deserve a better entrance into the world than to be in a feeding trough, to have that as his bed, a feeding trough? You see, Yeshua came into this world as a meek and humble servant. He didn't come with a lot of fanfare. He didn't come with a lot of announcement of, "Here's the King of Israel." He came as a lowly, meek, and humble servant. He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And the angel of the Lord said to Joseph, "You shall call his name Yeshua, which means salvation, for he will save his people from their sins." See, Yeshua's entire ministry was a life of humility, of serving, and of sacrifice. And Isaiah 61, 1 to 3, really defined his ministry and what he did for those 3.5 years. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God was upon him, that he came to preach good news to the poor, to the humble. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prison gates to those who are bound, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, and to comfort those who mourn in Zion." And that's what he did during those 3.5 years. He preached the good news of the kingdom. He healed the sick, the blind, and the crippled. He spoke with authority. He comforted those who mourned. He raised the dead. He set people free from demonic powers. He performed many signs and wonders and miracles to demonstrate that he was and is the Messiah. No one else in history has ever did what he did. And what was so amazing is that he was born to die. That was his purpose in coming. He was born to die. His purpose was to lay down his life and redeem man from their sin. And you know, when Yeshua made his final triumphal entry into Jerusalem during Passover, he fulfilled a 500-year prophecy from Zechariah 9, verse 9. And Matthew 21, verse 8 is this, you know, Matthew 21 refers to this prophecy of Zechariah. And here it says that when Yeshua came into Jerusalem in his final week, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and humble, riding on a donkey." Yeshua didn't come on a white horse, proclaiming him to be the King of Kings. He came with a gentle and humble heart, riding on a donkey. And to the very end, Yeshua demonstrated his humility, his integrity, and his love, even when he stood before his accusers. It tells us in Isaiah 53 that he was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before his shears is silent, he did not open his mouth. He didn't defend himself because he knew what was the reason why he was there for. He was unjustly condemned. He was struck down for rebellion of my people, and yet he had done no wrong, nor he had ever deceived anyone. Imagine the King of the universe coming to this earth, clothing himself with humanity, laying aside all of his heavenly glory, all of his omnipotent power, and taking on the form of a humble servant and laying down his life for us, all in the name of his love. And so shouldn't God's unconditional love motivate us to return the favor? Shouldn't it cause us to return the favor? So how can we return the favor? By obeying his command. And what was his command? He told his disciples not to leave Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then he gave his disciples a great commission, commandment, which we all have read many times. Yeshua said to them, "My all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Have you noticed that there are four alls in the Great Commission? Four alls. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to us. All authority. That's why we can, you know, lay hands on the sick, and in the name of Yeshua and the authority and the power of his name, we can see people healed, and we pray for people's healing. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, immersing them and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so we've been commissioned to make disciples of all nations, to observe and teach all that he has commanded us. And knowing that he will always be with us, even to the very end of the age. And that's why he sent us the Holy Spirit to help us fulfill this great commission. And the question is, how effective have we been in obeying the great commission? Not very. The Great Commission has become the great omission. When was the last time that you shared the good news with someone or introduced someone to the Messiah? I'm sure that we're all guilty as charged. We've all fallen short of obeying this command. And God's given us many opportunities to share our faith, and we, for whatever reason, because of fear or whatever reason, we just have not obeyed. And Yeshua said, open your eyes and look on the fields. They're ripe for harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord will send forth laborers into the harvest. Yeshua said that one of the signs of his coming at the end of the age is that this good news of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. We sometimes get so focused on all the signs and the prophetic events that are going to happen. We miss out on this part of what Yeshua said. There's a direct relationship with the good news being proclaimed in every nation and the coming of the Messiah. So we have a lot of work to do because there's about 8 billion people in the world today. And I think that there's only about 2 billion people who believe, who profess to be believers. So that's a lot of people that still need to be reached. But you know, it tells us in Romans 10, if you turn to Romans chapter 10, because Paul explains this good news message that we've been commissioned to share. Romans chapter 10. And he begins by sharing the burden of his heart. You know, that Paul had was called to be the apostle of the Gentiles, but he still had a great deep burden for his own people. So he begins Romans 10:1 by saying, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. But then if we go back to one chapter 9, verse 1, Paul had such a burden for his people that he said, I tell you the truth in Messiah. I'm not lying. My conscience assuring me in the Holy Spirit that my sorrow is so great and the anguish in my heart unending. For I would pray that I myself were cursed, banished from Messiah for the sake of my people, my own flesh and blood. You know, Paul was willing to have his name blotted out of the book of life for the sake of his people. That's how much he loved his people. And that was, there's only one other person that said that. That was Moses. So that's kind of the kind of heart that Paul had to reach his own people. And he said, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They are seeking to establish their own righteousness rather than accepting God's way of making us righteous. We try to do things our own way rather than God's way. See, believing in the Messiah is the only way that man can be made right with God. I know that I'm preaching here to the choir, at least for most of us. But the condition is that we must believe in him. We must believe in what he did. And Paul quotes directly from Isaiah 52 in Romans 10. He says, it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So we have a good news message to share, but Paul said there's a problem with this good news message. Not everyone accepts this message. And many of God's people are not sharing this message. And so Paul goes on in Romans 10, verse 14 to 16, and I'm going to read it in the NLT because it really kind of expresses it quite well. Romans 10, 14 to 16, but how can they call on him to save themselves unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring this good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So then faith comes by hearing, and the hearing the word of God. And then Paul, if we continue on in verse 8, going back to verse 8 to 13, Paul describes the whole plan of salvation and how we can share this good news with others. Romans 10, 8 to 13. Let me just read this and just follow along with me. Romans 10, 8 to 13. If you openly confess that Yeshua is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it's by openly declaring your faith in Yeshua that you are saved. But the scriptures say, whoever believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. But the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this is a message of the good news that we are commanded to share with those who do not believe. You know, as a Messianic congregation, we have a unique mandate. We've been called to be messengers to bring this good news of peace and salvation to our people. Romans 1, 16 and 17 is really one of the signature scriptures of our congregation. For I'm not ashamed of the good news. It's a power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that comes by faith. For the righteous shall live by faith. And so this is my challenge, that we have the greatest news in the world to share. We have the antidote, the cure for the virus of sin that is infecting the whole world and is destroying lives. So why are we afraid to share this message with others? You know, we know that we're involved in a great spiritual battle. You know, for the souls of mankind, you know, we're involved in a tremendous spiritual battle. All that's happening in Israel, it's all, we're involved in spiritual warfare. That's one way that we can understand what's happening in Israel and why the world hates Israel and the Jewish people so much is because the enemy knows how important Israel is. And so we're involved in this great spiritual battle against the powers of darkness. The enemy is out to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because we can't do this in our own strength. That's why Yeshua told the disciples, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even the remotest parts of the earth. The good news is going out into the four corners of the earth. So praise God for that. But Paul taught believers to put on the full armor of God as our spiritual defense against the forces of evil. And he described one piece of that armor was the sandals, our feet, the shoes, our feet. And our feet are to be moving, not standing still. And then we are put on the sandals of peace, and we are to go forth and share this good news. See, to be equipped with God's armor means to be ready and willing to share the good news with those who need salvation. You know, I know that many of us are not sure how to open a conversation with someone who does not believe. So I just kind of give you a little bit of an example of how you can open a conversation and share your faith with someone. You can begin by asking them a question. Would you like to hear some good news? I'm sure that everyone would love to hear some good news because all we hear is bad news. So I don't think anyone would ever say, no, I don't want to hear any good news. And then you say, did you know that God loves you? And he has a wonderful plan for your life? Would you like to know what his plan is for you? And I'm sure they will help, probably most of them will say, yeah, I'd be kind of curious. What is that plan? He said, I came to give you life and life abundantly. He promises to give you an abundant life filled with love and joy and peace and purpose and meaning. You don't have to fear death because you can know what will happen to you after you die. The Lord said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Wouldn't you want to have that kind of life? Wouldn't you like to have a hopeful future, that your future is filled with hope? As we look around the world today, we see everything that's, you know, falling apart. God wants to give us hope. Do you want that hope? But there's a problem. There's a barrier between you and God, and it's called sin. And the Bible said that we've all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And then you say, do you believe that you have sinned? And did you know that there's nothing that you can do to earn your way into heaven? Because if you ask anyone, how do you think if you're standing before God and he would ask you, why should I let you into heaven? Would you start listing all the things you've done so good in this life? That's not how we get into heaven. It's not by what we do. It's what he's done for us. In Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace we've been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone would boast. God promises that he will give you eternal life for believing in his Son. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of life? Wouldn't you want to have an everlasting life? And then hopefully they'll say yes. And then you share the words from Romans 10 and ask them if they'd like to pray with you. And you say, if you confess with your mouth Yeshua is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is believing in your heart that you're made righteous with God. And it's by declaring your faith in him that you're saved. Because if you believe in him, you'll never be put to shame. And so I encourage you to put those in your own words, but to use that as a way of introducing someone to the Messiah. Would you like to hear some good news? Everyone wants to hear good news. And that opens the door for you to share, you know, the whole good news of the kingdom. And then Paul closes his teaching by asking a series of questions about Jewish people. And if you turn back to Romans 10, 16 through 21, this is Paul speaking to his own people. And he says, but not everyone welcomes this good news. Not everyone welcomes this good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed this message? So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard the message? And Paul says, yes, they have. The message has gone out throughout all the earth and the world to all the world. But I asked, did the people of Israel really understand? Yes, they did. For even in the time of Moses, God said, I will rouse your jealousy to people who are not even a nation. I will provoke your anger to the foolish Gentiles. After Isaiah spoke boldly for God, saying, I was found by people who were not even looking for me. You know, the nations were not even looking for God. And when they heard this good news, many of them gladly received. Thousands upon thousands of people from among the nations believed. He says, I showed myself to those who were not asking for me. But regarding Israel, God said, all day long, I've held out my hands to a disobedient and a rebellious people. God is still doing that today. He's still holding out his hands to stubborn and rebellious people, because God is not God's will for anyone to perish, but for all to come to knowledge of the truth. And that's why in Romans 11, it taught a message to the non-Jewish believer. Part of our, you know, and that's why God is bringing many into our congregation. Our mission is to provoke Jewish people to jealousy. And that's part of returning the favor to our people, is provoking them to jealousy. Because when they see non-Jewish believers observing the Shabbat, learning Hebrew, learning the Torah, observing God's appointed times, they become jealous because they know that's what they're supposed to be doing, and they're not doing it. And so we have an amazing message to share. And we're coming to the time of the end. And God really wants to use each one of us. And I would say that each one of us, if we could just lead one person to the Lord, our congregation would double in no time. And we'd love to see new visitors coming into our congregation. But it's exciting to see new life. It's exciting to see, you know, the enthusiasm of a young believer first coming to know the Messiah and how it changes their life, because I know how it changed my life when I first believed. And I became so excited about how God had changed my life that I gave my life to Him in service and ministry to Him. You know, so we really want to encourage you. That's kind of part of our vision for this coming year, is to really begin to focus more on being more outreach-minded as a community, as believers. And, you know, Irene Bryant, a couple of weeks ago in her Airship About Dinner, she gave a message on a book that she wrote called Eternal Life Choices. And just really an opportunity for us to have some practical equipping. So we want to begin some classes, you know, once or twice a month, to begin to help us become more equipped of how we can share our faith, and then to practically go out and do some of that sharing. You know, because a few years ago, we had this Jeff Bernstein, a Messianic leader from New York, who came, and he spent a whole month with us, helping to equip us and to help us to share our faith. And many of us went out into the malls, and we shared our faith, and I was actually amazed at how many people were open to hear the good news. I mean, we had an opportunity to lead some people to the Lord the first time I ever met them. And so that's kind of, we live in a harvest right now. The harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. And so we need to be stirred up in our hearts. We need to be motivated to action. We need to get those feet moving and be willing to proclaim this good news of the kingdom. Amen. That's God's heart. He doesn't want us to be complacent, indifferent, apathetic. And I kind of sense in some ways we've become too comfortable. And God wants to wake us up, and that's what the fall feast is all about. It's going to be a time to really wake us up. You know, when we hear the sound of the shofar, it's called, intended to be a wake-up call, call to repentance. Wake up God's people, because many of us are sleeping, and we're kind of indifferent towards the things that are happening around us. God really wants to wake us up and help us to realize the urgency of where we're at in this time in human history. And He wants us all to be participants. He just wants us to sit in the pew, keeping the pew warm, coming every Shabbat, just feeling the encouragement of being together. But He really wants us to be the congregation gathered and then become the congregation scattered as we go into our community. And so I encourage you, even this coming week, to be in prayer. You know, Lord, just bring someone into my life that I would have opportunity to share this good news with, because it will change their life forever. Amen. So, Father, we just thank You, God, for this time that we can share together. We thank You for this good news that we responded to. If there's someone here that has not made that choice to choose life, that they will make that choice either here or live streaming. Father, we know, Lord, that we've made the right choice to choose life, that we may live, because it has determined our eternal destiny. Our eternal destiny is secure because we believe in You. But Lord, there's so many people today whose destiny is uncertain. And Lord God, we know that the consequences of not believing is total separation from You. And Lord, going to a place where it's total separation, we're called hell. And Lord, we don't want people to go to hell, Father. We pray that You would stir our hearts and challenge us, God, to have greater love and compassion. When You looked upon the multitudes, You wept over Jerusalem because they were like sheep without a shepherd. There are so many people today who are wandering the earth, who have no sense of direction, no purpose, no meaning in their life. Father, we have the answer. Lord, help us to be willing to go forth and share the good news with those who have lost hope. Lord God, give us that boldness. Lord, we need Your Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with Your Holy Spirit to be able to do what You've commissioned us to do. So, Lord, we pray that even this coming week, Lord, we would not be fearful. Lord, just be open. You bring people into our lives every day. Lord, just help us to be available. Lord, I want to be available for You today to be able to share this good news with someone, to sow some seed in a person's heart, because sometimes you're just sowing seed and then someone else comes along and gathers in that fruit. But Lord God, we just want to be obedient as You've commanded us to go and proclaim the good news of the kingdom. So challenge us, we pray, Lord, that we would repent of our apathy, our complacency, our lack of compassion for others, and motivate us, Father, to be stirred up so we can share with our family, our loved ones, our friends, our co-workers, Lord God, just give us opportunity, we pray. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen.